The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Everybody, Alan Ellis here, second hour of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We've got Harry Hornick, Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service, on the line with us, and let's talk to Harry right away. Good morning, Harry. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good.
I'm doing
Thanks
great.
For having me on the
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. My pleasure. I guess we've got a minor event here in Maryland Fishing coming up here next Saturday, which would be the opening of the spring trophy fishery. Not really a big deal, but people seem to like it. What do you think?
I think it's a good thing.
It's a huge deal, as we know. Yes, sir.
Yeah, people are getting excited about it. I mean, the weather's turning, nice here. Our typical Maryland spring day.
Oh yeah.
Spring weekends, and the fish are out there. I mean, we have biologists in the striped bass program are on the spawning grounds. Sampling, as we speak.
Really? You did tell me that the other day. I guess you were wanting to be out there. I'm surprised we don't hear water splashing in the background with you.
But we have folks out on the Upper Bay and the Chesapeake Bay, or I'm sorry, Upper Bay and then the Potomac River, out there sampling. Like I said, on the spawning grounds as we speak. So.
Yeah, great, yeah. great. So, let's talk about this. We talk about the perch run. We talk about the yellow perch run, and the perch come in, and they spawn, and then they leave and go back downstream, and, some of the little males stay around, and then we got the white perch run, and then we got the shad run, and then we have the rockfish run. What is actually the peak spawn time of striped bass in Chesapeake Bay? Are we in it now, or when's it coming?
It's early yet. I mean, the fish are on the spawning grounds or near the spawning grounds. Like the peak spawn temperature, and striped bass really, and all these fish really, I mean, there's a bunch of factors, but like water temperature is like one of the key ones, water temperature and...
Diurnal period? No, not diurnal. Light, wait a minute. Photo period.
Photo period. I mean, light definitely has an impact, but yeah. I think the major driving factor, I mean, the light can be right, but if the temperature's not right, they usually won't spawn. I mean, the issue is it's pretty much temperature driven, and temperature can affect like the outcome of the spawn. Like fish can spawn, striped bass can spawn when the temperature is 57, 58, which is a good temperature for them.
Right.
And then it may drop to 54 because we get a rain event, a localized weather event.
Right.
It drops the water temperature, and then we have a mortality of the larvae, eggs and larvae that have been spawned.
Right.
And that's what we had a couple of years ago. I think it was 2012 that we had that horrendous year class, or rather, lack of a year class.
Yeah, lack of one, right.
And just, it was like one of the lowest ones of record. And it was really pretty much, not pretty much, it was, weather conditions, water conditions. And we actually saw it on a smaller scale last year on the Potomac. I mean, we had actually above average, spawning and on one of our surveys, the juvenile survey that most people, have heard about, last year the overall bay-wide number was just that, it was an average number. But in all of the head of the bay, the Chop Tank, the Nanticoke, they all really were just slightly above average. The Potomac River was a 2.3 something, like way below its average, and it was because of a very localized temperature, drop. in the water.
People concentrate on the big spawners, and they're concerned about, dragging them up through the water column, on a trolling lure, behind a moving boat. How's that going to affect the spawn if you've got an undersized fish or an oversized fish? And now this year, an even bigger problem with slot limit fish. How's that affect the mortality? And how does that affect the spawn? But the bigger issue, as I think I'm hearing you explain it, is the fact that the survivability of the newly, hatched fry or whatever it might be is probably a bigger key to the survival of the species than what we're doing to them in these heart of the spawning season as far as catching them. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yes. I mean, you could have... right now you hear people talk about, the spawning stock, the size of the spawning stock, and it actually is in good shape. I mean, we'll get into more of like what people are talking about, but I mean, you could have a wonderful, extremely large population of spawning females and tons of males and tons of eggs, being hatched, or rather being given birth, on the spawning grounds, and a weather event, a bay-wide weather event, like a major storm, can change all of that. It can, again, affect the year class strength, affect the survival, and you could have no fishing at all going on or no catch and release going on, and you would still have, you would have relatively, I don't want to use terms like failure and things
like
that. Well,
sure, I understand what you're saying.
It's independent of almost everything else going on.
A less robust result from what you would expect.
Yes, and it would be totally out of our control.
Yeah, of course. Well,
they worry about water quality, and water quality is something to worry about, but, again, we can't control the weather. We just try, as managers, the department, we're really trying to control, balance everything else out, which is the fishermen.
Exactly.
That's what we can control.
Right.
So we have to kind of, model things in that fashion.
And I don't envy. I admire the work that the boots on the ground folks, the biologists, do, and the reporting that they do, and the surveys that they do. But I don't envy your job, quite frankly. It's a tough job to deal with all the. The recreational anglers, the commercial anglers, the charter boat captains, to try and balance all that and make everybody happy is just, it's a tremendous lift for you guys to do all that, and I salute you for doing that. I salute the management and of the fishery service and everything else for doing a great job. So
we are trying. The one of the key words is adaptive management that you might may or may not hear floating around, but I mean, it's the process that we use that, we're trying to balance conservation of the resource, striped bass, and allowing fishermen to benefit from the resource.
Sure.
Benefit from having, such great fishing opportunities in Chesapeake Bay.
Right.
And at the same time.
And maintain sustainability, of course.
Right. And maintain that. And, some people think we're not worried about the resource. We're only worried about fishing. And it's like, no, we try to balance everything out and really err on the side of caution.
Yeah. The goal is not necessarily to increase the stock, but to maintain and sustain this robust, I use that word again, robust. But it is a robust population of striped bass in the Chesapeake Bay. You just don't want to start seeing a downward trend in the population. Is that correct?
Right.
We could survive it, and the fish would still thrive. We have got plenty of striped bass at this point, and we don't want to see a major drastic downturn that would lead to another moratorium or anything like that.
Right. And even, people, you hear different people saying, we're gonna see a moratorium now, and it's like, we are nowhere near. I mean, things are very different from, 1985 when the moratorium was enacted.
Yep.
And, the 85 through 90, which was a hard belt tightening time for everybody involved with striped bass. And, then you get to the point where, okay, we did the moratorium, the population had started coming back, we monitored it. 1995, basically because of growth and monitoring and modest conservative fisheries, it was deemed recovered. And
yes.
Everybody celebrated, everybody had a party, and we're still above that level now. Like the stock condition is still above what it was in 1995 when it was
recovered.
Right, and everybody was dancing in the streets. I mean,
sure. I started a fishing magazine called Fish Finder here in Maryland in 1983, mm-hmm. and then the Rockfish moratorium hit. Thanks.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, but let me ask you, Harry, switching gears here a little bit, what are some of the major changes this year for the regulations? I've talked about this a little bit, but fill us in on this size limit thing. And, you know, we've got increased sizes now that we've got to deal with as far as the size limit. I don't think the creel limit has changed, but talk about that a little bit.
Well, it's going to be we've actually gone through this before. I mean, people haven't really heard people talk about it or mention it. But, you know, what we're going to have in starting April 18th, that Saturday, you know, from April 18th to May 15th, you know, the same period as, or, you know, a similar period as previous spring season.
Right.
One fish per person per day
mm-hmm.
at 28 to 36 inches
mm-hmm.
or a fish greater than 40 inches. So you've basically got, you know, you've got that
36 to 40 inch no keep limit.
Right, right. And what that is, you know, the intent of that. And again, we're looking at a balancing act. We heard from the user groups, you know, that, oh, we want trophy fish, oh, we want this. You know, the main directing force was Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission saying, you know, because of the condition of the population, because of things that, you know, trends, not necessarily any you know, anything, the roof hasn't, or rather the bottom hasn't fallen out of the stock or anything. It's just, you know, a precautionary effort that, you know, we need to scale things back. And if this is being done on a coastal basis, you know, a lot of people think, oh, you know, Maryland's getting screwed. And,
yep.
Well, everybody, we won't say screwed. Everybody's, can I say that on the radio?
Yeah, you said screwed. That's fine. I say it all the time.
But, I mean, but everybody's having to cut back. And part of this new scenario that we have, this no-take slot, is part of, you know, protecting, you know, a 2003 year class fish, which was like one of the major ones. You know, they're 12-year-old fish now.
Right.
And they were one of the, you know, the major year classes spawned, and they've been a major component of our trophy season.
Sure.
The past few years.
Right.
Now, I'd mentioned, you know, again, some people may not remember this or they choose to forget it, but in 2007, we had a similar slot limit where, you know, we had one fish per person per day, 28 to 35 inches or greater than 41. So you still had a... you know, that window that, okay, you know, you're going to catch fish, you're going to have to release them. You know, the Marine Police are out there, you know, monitoring this,
sure.
You know, enforcing this. And again, that was done as a, you know, precautionary, you know, management strategy to, you know, kind of
sure.
limit the harvest. Well, it is. It's limiting the harvest. That's
exactly.
The one thing that we can't do. We can't control the weather, can't control the water temperature. But when we look at, you know, ways we can control... control mortality, fishing mortality, and that's, like I said, that's like one of the few things we can control. We have to look at, you know, creel limits, size limits, slot
sure.
limits, and that's what we're doing.
Exactly.
We're doing.
All right, let's leave it right there for a second. Let me tell the folks about some of our fine sponsors, okay?
Okey-doke.
All right. Hey, look, Maryland oyster season is over, pretty much, and NBS Seafood. They're at 1223 Dorsey Road in Glen Burnie. They have got all kinds of good stuff if you enjoy seafood, and even some different stuff, too. They've got wild-caught Louisiana crawfish, andouille sausage, gator tail meat. They've got catfish fillets in 5-pound bags for just $45. They've got live crabs from Louisiana, jumbo Gulf shrimp, scallops, and you name it. They've got a variety of seafood items. You just need to stop by and check it out. They're open Thursday, Friday, and Monday. So that would be Thursday, Friday, and Monday from 2 to 7. Saturday today from 10 to 7 and Sunday noon to 5. They do accept Visa, MasterCard, EBT, and cash. And if you have any questions or would like to reserve an order at 410-271-3202, 271-3202. I don't know if they'll reserve an order for you, but you can tell them you're coming. How do you think about that? I think that would be right. So that's NBS Seafood, 1223 Dorsey Road. NBS stands for No BS. And you can fill in the blanks if you want. So stop by and see my buddy Bill and take care of getting some seafood for the weekend. Look, if you enjoy decoy collecting and great wildlife art, waterfowl hunting, or just a scenic walk along the bay, it's time for the 34th Annual Decoy and Wildlife Art Festival at the Havre de Grace Decoy Museum. This year's event is Friday evening on May 1st, Saturday, May 2nd, Sunday, May 3rd. It's 6 to 9 on Friday, 9 to 5 on Saturday, and 10 to 4 on Sunday. Admission is just $10 for the entire weekend. Carving competitions, a silent auction, an outdoor hunting show featuring community and nonprofit organizations as well. And then there are the artists, decoy carvers, wildlife art, photography, all on hand, along with hunting and fishing suppliers and guide services as well. It's a family-friendly atmosphere, great food, lots to see, lots to do, and there's a free shuttle bus that runs between the venues, the museum, the middle school, and the activity center. Learn about the great hunting traditions of the Chesapeake Bay at the Decoy and Wildlife Art Festival at the Havre de Grace Decoy Museum on May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. You need to go there, hunters. I mean, if you don't know anything about the history of waterfowl hunting in Maryland, you need to go there. Visit www.decoymuseum.com or give them a call, 410-939-3739, 939-3739. See you at the Decoy Festival. Now, I'm going to tell you about our friends at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit Number 9. If you need it for not only fishing but spring gobbler season, they've got that as well. They've got the ammo and everything you need for spring gobbler season. They've got the great shotguns, especially from Browning, the Browning BPS pump, you name it, they've got it right there for firearms, for home protection and self-protection and hunting and rifle hunting and shotgun hunting and waterfowl and turkey. Well, they've got everything, that's for sure. And they also have fishing licenses and rod and reel repair and live bait and lures and hooks and lead weights and fishing tackle for perch and trout and bass and rockfish and bucktails and umbrella. You get the point. You got the whole deal. They got everything there. 410-242-6108. And that's 242-6108 for Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. And don't forget that 24-hour fishing report, 410-247-3474, 247-FISH for the updated local fishing report from Clyde Sports Shop.
This is Alan Ellis for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, spray-on bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners, with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer, blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie's new location is 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Start your day with Sean and Frank, Maryland's wake-up call. Weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Dragon the line. Dragging the Line. That goes out to our charter boat captains who are going to be doing that for the next few weeks, right, Harry?
Hopefully, if the weather cooperates here. I mean, I think this weekend we're going to be good.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you know, getting ready for this opening next.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. Hey, well, let me ask you, what were the results of last year's juvenile survey? While we're talking about that kind of stuff.
Well, last year's the juvenile survey, which is you know, the survey that basically determines the spawning success from the previous spring.
Right.
It was 11.0. Which is, you know, basically an average,
right,
average number of striped bass caught per seine haul. And it was, you know, it was basically, you know, it was an average year. It was,
mm-hmm,
an average year.
Better than a poor year. Yeah.
But I think I'd mentioned earlier that, you know, when we were looking at, like, the other systems, all the other systems, you know, the Head of the Bay, the Chop Tank, the Nanticoke, they all basically had above average, you know, slightly above average, you know, or rather were above, like, the long-term, you know,
right,
long-term,
right,
Bay average. But the Potomac River had, you know, not very good recruitment at all. I mean, it was, like, one of the lowest.
Right.
You know, very much under its average. And that dragged, you know, again,
everything down.
Dragged everything down.
Sure.
So we actually had a better year class. You know, there's a figure that the biologist, Eric Durrell, that runs the survey, you know, it's the proportion of positive hauls. It's, you know, it's the number of incidents. And that was, like, actually, that the number of incidents, you know, like, for every, you know, basically 77% of the samples had striped bass in it, and that's, like, that's way above, you know, that's above the average,
right,
of you know, the average for the long-term, you know, the long-term sampling program.
Sure.
So, it actually, you know, it was actually probably an above-average or above-average spawn or above-average recruitment, but because of, you know, mortality, you know, egg and larval mortality in the Potomac, it dragged it down.
It's like your batting average or your bowling average. You know,
right?
It's every time you step up to the plate, or every time you roll that ball down the alley. It's not, you know, you may be a superior bowler, but your average gets dragged down when you throw a, you know, a bad ball or a bad, you know,
big time,
you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So, okay, you mentioned that we're trying to protect this 2003 year class of fish in this slot limit from 36 to 40 inches. You're telling me that it.
Well, it's just that year class. It's you know, it's the 2004, 2005, or 2003.
Sure.
You know, the ones on three, four, and five. Let's say that.
Okay.
It's like a group of year classes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that leads me to my next question. Then, if we're protecting fish that are coming in on the spawning run, that's that are 12, 11, and 10 years old. What is the average age range of the trophy striped bass that we, you know, that we do catch? I mean, what can we expect with this new slot limit deal?
Well, last year's season,
yeah,
you know, the fish range in age from, like, basically 7 to 18, 7 years to 18 years, you know, that we documented. We know there's,
right,
probably older fish out there. You know, they can live to be 30 years old. So, you know, and we know some of them are out there.
Right.
You know, the catch last year was dominated by fish, like, between 36 and 38, which, of course, falls right in this, you know, the slot limit that people are
right,
not going to be able to fish. The 2003 year class, which, you know, last year was age 11, you know, they made up half of the harvest that we monitored.
Right.
Most fish were, you know, we mentioned, you again, you know, they range in age from 7 to 18. You know, that's, you know, a 28 inch fish, you know, right at the 7 year old mark.
Right.
You know, most of the fish were really between 9 and 13. So you've got a bunch of year classes involved. You have one that's kind of driving it. And actually, you know, to the 2004 year, you know, year class, which will be, you know, be coming in this year also, you know, they were 20% of, you know, the most frequently observed fish.
Sure.
Or, you know, age of fish.
Well, let me steer you in this direction. A rockfish over 40 inches in length, which is the you know, the upper limit of the slot, 40 inches and above. How old does a fish have to be to attain 40 inches in length?
Well, those are probably those, you know, those 18-year-old fish and,
yeah,
and older. Now, it's I don't know what the largest, you know, the actually largest fish that was harvested last year.
Right.
I think it was. Oh, actually, I do. It was like 46 inches. Something,
right,
like that. I mean, the oldest fish that we've ever sampled was really inches shorter than that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's like so much variety in growth, you know, when
sure.
fish get older there.
Yeah. They may add more wet, more weight, more girth, but not more length.
Not necessarily. I mean, or they're just different. I mean, it's just, we're talking about 2003 year class. You know, we're also, you know, part of this ASMSC management strategy is to also protect like the 20 year class that people are now looking at.
Right.
You know, I'm sure we'll talk more about that. But,
sure.
you know, those fish are 4 year old. Those fish are coming in. Last fall, we were looking at the biologist again, Beth Versack, Eric Durrell, Jeffrey Horn, all the, yeah, I got
oh, yeah, all those guys.
They,
yeah.
They work in the trenches.
Yep.
You know, Alexi Sheriff and Angela Giuliano, you know, they're like pure analytical people.
Sure.
I mean, they're just crunching these numbers. And one of the interesting things they found is that the 2011 year class, like they, last fall, they range in size from like 11 inches to 20 inches.
Wow,
and that's all the same, you know, fish that were born in the same year. I mean,
yeah.
Now, some fish obviously were probably born in early April, and some may have been born in late April, even into May. And
they vary that much in their sizes and
that variation in growth rate. But I mean, you know, there it is in a snapshot of you know fish that are all brothers and sisters.
Wow, if I remember correctly, we had 700 plus. Angler awards given out last year for fish over 40 inches, if I remember right.
Yeah.
So, tremendous fishery.
Yeah, there'll be, I mean, this, you know, again, the people that, you know, last year's the mean length, you know, the average size in 2014 last season was just a little over 37 inches.
Right.
You know, that's, like I said, that's, you know, that bump in the population or the length frequency, you know, a large number of fish that are available are going to be in that slot, but there's still going to be a large number of fish, you know, to the left of that, you know, in the 28 to 36 inch range.
Right.
You know, that slot limit's not going to affect anything at all for the, you know, the 46 inch fish and the 42 inch fish that people were able to catch last year.
Sure.
And they're still out there. They're still out there. So,
good.
Again, go ahead.
No, I was going to say I want you to just hold that next thought before we go on here. We do have to take a little break, but when we come back, a friend of yours, our buddy Dale from Easton, wants to talk with you about the striped bass fishery. So just hang on there, and we'll get back to you right here after this next little break. So, hey, look, folks, for great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, it's Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. Now, look, it's easy to get there. Take Route 100 all the way to the end. You hop on Mountain Road to the right towards Gibson Island. You go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road right beside the service station there. All you need for any type of fishing. Great advice on trophy rockfish, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones always carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you will ever find. That's right. It's Fishbones Bait and Tackle. Give them a call, 410-360-0573. 360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. Talk to Bud. You'll be glad you did. Hey, look, Operation Second Chance and NPLB, New Person Left Behind. Our buddy Mark Hoke is holding an event to support our wounded veterans. It's a bull roast banquet on Sunday, April 26th from noon to 6 at the Timonium Fairgrounds, 2200 York Road at the 4-H Hall in Timonium. The tickets are $35 for a single, $55 for a couple, and kids under 10 eat for free. It's a bull roast, a live auction, a cash bar, and afterwards a Fleetwood Mac tribute band. The tribute band concert is included in your ticket price, or you can buy those tickets separate and just go to that. For more information, give our buddy Mark Hoke a call, 301-674-4234, 301-674-4234, or call Susan Peacock. She's at 301-775-7738. That's the Bull Roast Banquet for supporting our wounded veterans, Operation Second Chance, and NPLB, coming up in Timonium on Sunday, April 26th. And now here's one right up the alley for Dale and for Harry. It's the Maryland Fishing Challenge, a free year-round tournament hosted by DNR Fisheries Service for every recreational angler. Eligible fish include all game fish from the Atlantic to the clear, fresh water of Deep Creek Lake. 65 species, misread that. in five different categories: freshwater, Chesapeake Bay and tidal, Atlantic Coast, catch and release, and even an invasive species. And don't forget the Maryland Youth component is connected to the free online Maryland Youth Fishing Club. Now, if you catch a fish of notable size, a specified size established years ago, you'll receive your official Angler Award certificate and an invitation to the grand finale event in September, where you could win a Tracker Marine boat, motor and trailer package, an exotic fishing vacation from the World Fishing Network, some Costa gear, the Sunglass folks, tackle packages from Bass Pro Shops and Bill's Outdoor Center, and much more. Trout season's here, perch runs on, rockfish season just around the corner. From the headboats on the Atlantic to the headwaters of the clear mountain streams, it's time. It's fishing time. Go fish. Official rules are online. DNR2.maryland.gov/fisheries.
Dry starting off the weekend on this Saturday morning. Into the afternoon, plenty of sunshine. It will be windy at times with some of the gusts from the west and northwest near 20 or 25 miles per hour. The high today up to 62. That's pretty close to average for this portion of April. Overnight, clear winds will diminish and the low will drop down to 38. Warmer wrapping up the weekend on Sunday tomorrow. Sunny with a high near 68 degrees. And then turning partly cloudy into Monday with a high near 70. And then we'll transition to some wet weather as we make our way into Tuesday. I'm Jeff Maher from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Hey, and we want to send out a congratulatory message there to Brittany and Randy at the Eldersburg Battery Warehouse on the birth of their new son, Lane Jeremiah. He's about 3 weeks old, so, you know, we just if you stop by and see Brittany or Randy, just say congratulations to him. Just wanted to add that.
Stay connected. Listen on AM 680 or stream us on your PC, tablet, or phone at WCBM.com.
New frequency detected.
I'm on a first name basis at the tackle shop. I got a chart account running up nonstop. They ought to give me my own parking spot. I can't fit another plug in my tackle box. It's always under construction for all my weapons of mass destruction.
All right. I just want to let the listeners know that if you have a question for anybody in DNR and don't know how to get a hold of them, you can always email me right here, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. If you have a question about the show, the Maryland Hunting Coalition, whatever, you can do that, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. I usually answer your emails, or I can direct them or forward them to the right folks within the Department of Natural Resources, especially Fisheries Service. So there you go. We're talking to Harry Hornick, and we're talking to Dale in Easton. Dale, good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
All right. Harry, how are you doing?
Hey, Dale, how are you doing?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad. I'm sure you're disappointed, though, that the Maryland Fishing Challenge is a component that you all enjoyed participating in that's no longer part of the contest.
Well, you know, I guess they're still going to be having some part of a contest, so I'm sure we'll be involved.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
no
but
question.
Not to the extent that you were with the Diamond Jim.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
Diamond Jim.
I guess.
All right.
Harry, my question is regarding the, during the trophy season, what was the percentage of pre- versus post-pawing fish that were harvested?
It actually has been not as high as you think. I mean, it's kind of gone all over the, I don't want to say this, gotten all over the, you know, from 50% up to 80%. The average is like 57% of fish are post-spawn.
Mm-hmm.
And last year in 2014, you know, 73% of the fish that we sampled out, you know, out that were harvested fish, 73% were post-spawn.
Okay.
So again, they can, you know, now, you know, females are the majority of the harvest in last year. You know, there were over 90%, you know, females were harvested.
Say that again.
I said over 90% of our sampled trophy harvest last year were females.
Say that again. No, I heard you. 90% of the fish that were sampled last year in the trophy season were females.
Yes, yes.
And they were, and so the percentage of pre and post spawn last year, Harry, was?
But 73% were post spawn.
So those 73% of the 90% of the fish that were caught,
yeah,
were females.
Correct.
73% of those fish had already spawned.
Correct. Yes.
So,
yes,
3 out of 4 had already spawned, but yes, we were still cutting open fish full of eggs in the trophy season. 1 out of 4.
Yes. Yeah. Approximately.
Okay. I got it.
Yeah. Harry, what's been the long term average of that since, you know? Do you have any idea in terms of the last, say, 10, 12 years?
It's been, like I said, it has varied up and down, but the average is 57%.
Okay.
It's about, you know.
That's always been a concern of mine.
Okay. Now, folks, let me cut in here, Dale and Harry. We've got biologists talking biology speak between themselves. I just want to put this out for our listeners to understand what they're talking about. They're talking about the fish that are caught in the trophy season. How many of them are females that have spawned and are on their way back out, or how many have not spawned? So what they're saying is last season, 3 out of 4 of the fish, the females that were caught, had already spawned. 25%, or 1 out of 4, had not spawned. 90% of the fish that were caught in the trophy season by the ones that they surveyed, 90% of those fish were females. Am I getting those numbers right, guys?
Yeah, and again, you know, both numbers vary from year to year.
Understand.
You know, in 2012, it was 75% females, but you know, again, it you know, each year is a different.
But the point is that the bulk of those fish taken in the trophy season averages more than 50% of females.
Right.
Maybe even higher as far as an average is concerned. And of those females that are caught, the majority of them have spawned, but we still have 25 to 30% roughly that haven't spawned. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Harry, do you see a difference in that ratio with the charter versus the private fleet?
We could look at that. I honestly can't recall what the difference is. No offense to the rec people, but you know, we know the charter fleet are successful.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
Fishermen, professionals. But yeah, what the difference is, I'd have to look at that. One thing I'd not to cut Alan off, but you know, when we look at like the harvest numbers, you know, we estimate, you know, how many fish were harvested last year, and we're looking at, I mean, we're probably less than 4% of what is of the same component of the striped bass stock, you know, the migratory group, you know, the males and the females that travel up down the East Coast. We harvest probably less than 4% of what is on the, you know, the whole East Coast harvest. So I mean, I know, and there are some people that, you know, the feel that, you know, sampling females is not a good thing. Again, as long as we have enough females spawning, you know, as a biologist, it you know, it's a balancing act.
As sure.
Long as we have enough fish spawning on the spawning grounds, and again, you know, we're at the whims of the weather god.
Oh yes.
You know, the temperature. I mean, we could have no fishery, and still have a bad year. Of reproduction, if the weather didn't cooperate.
Sure, sure. I'm not saying that what we're doing is a horrible thing. I just want to clear that up for the folks that are out there. You know, you're saying we're fishing 4% here in the Chesapeake Bay.
Or possibly less.
Yeah. Or less,
yeah,
when,
on a coastal basis.
When it's,
yeah,
on a coastal basis. When it's all said and done, the annual spawning run in the Chesapeake Bay and us fishing on them is responsible for a 4% harvest of the total biomass, so to speak.
Right, and that's just 1 year. You know, again, that may go up or down, again,
sure,
depending on what, you know, what, sorry, what the coast, you know, again, everything, like when we look at, like we talk about working under ASMSC, I mean, we're,
yeah,
you know, in with all the other states. But again, if you look at the, you know, the numbers of fish that are harvested on the coast, and then what, you know, what we estimate are, you know, and through our monitoring and different, you know, different data collection activities,
yeah,
you know, we're, you know, when we look at, like, okay, our average harvest for the trophy season is around 44,000 fish.
Okay.
That, like I said, is, you know, not to trivialize it, but, you know, again, compared to what's harvested of those same big fish, including the females, you know, we're a minor part of it. And that's why, I mean, when people think, well, why, how can we have a fishery on the spawning grounds? And it's like, or, you know, fishing on the spawning population, not necessarily on the spawning grounds.
Right.
It gives Maryland fishermen an opportunity to get to, you know, to catch these fish that they can't get any other time of the year unless they go out on the coast, unless they go up to New England.
The question is then, what impact is this fishery at the Bay Bridge Tunnel and, you know, the Virginia fishery, the North Carolina fishery, in the wintertime pre-spawn have? What kind of effect does that have? I mean, is that a bigger number, a smaller number of the available stock? Tell me about that.
I mean, it definitely could have an impact. I know that they're under the eye of ASMSC and the Coast Guard and VMRC. I mean, it's, you know, I think, I know they may have had some issues a few years ago, but I think things are a little better. But they certainly would have, you know, it could have an impact. But again, you know, what happens in the springtime weather-wise is, you know, is more of the key issue.
Well,
you know, management-wise, you know, you never want an issue where people, you know, that, like I said, you know, undocumented harvest. I mean, we don't want that.
Harry, do you have are there hard numbers available for what happens at the Bay Bridge Tunnel? You know, pre-spawn.
I think Virginia. Well,
I mean, it's, you know, it would be nice to look at that data, and because, yeah, it's only 4%. But again, if you add in some unknown percentage at the Bay Bridge Tunnel down there, you could be looking at a significant. Take of those spawning females.
Yeah. I mean, the 4%, when I say, and again, this is like just for last year, I mean, that is just, you know, that's, you know, Virginia, Maryland, you know, Potomac River, that's, you know, that is separate from what may be harvested down at the, you know, at the tunnels.
Right.
You know,
yeah, but is there any hard data available for that harvest down there?
I'm not sure what they collect on that, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a question for Virginia Marine Resources. Like, hey, what are you guys
collecting? What are you doing?
Mm-hmm. What are you seeing down there? I'm not, you know, okay. I'll be honest with you, my head's under the sand, or not under the sand, under the water with Maryland striped bass, you know, trying to get it. But it certainly is a relevant question.
All right, guys, listen, we got to take another break. So,
Harry, you take care.
All right, good talking to you, Dale.
I will talk at you.
All right, thanks, Dale. See you. There goes Dale. All right. I got to tell you folks about Clyde Sports Shop one more time. Anything and everything you need for fishing in Maryland. If you want to get your fishing license, you can do so. You want to get your rods and reels ready for the season, you can do so. If you want to get any types of terminal tackle, your weights, your hooks, your swivels, you know, for any type of fishing. I bought a couple packs of hooks in there the other day. You can do so at Clyde Sports Shop. Listen, they've got all the major brands. They just came through their big sale. They've got live bait. They've got every kind of lure and attractant for trout and perch and striped bass. They've got the bucktails and the trolling lures. You can go in and check that out, too. Clyde Sports Shop is at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. And by the way, they do have spring turkey stuff, too. That phone number is 410-242-6108. They're just off Beltway Exit 9, and they do have that 24-hour fishing hotline, 410-247-3474. 410-247-FISH, and that's for Clyde Sports Shop. Stop by when you get the chance. While you're on the road, and you happen to cross the Bay Bridge, while you're over there, make sure you get off exit 39B, that's Dominion Road, and visit the folks at Chesapeake Outdoors. Chesapeake Outdoors is the first choice of Eastern Shore hunters and anglers, and they have Kent Island's largest selection of fishing and crabbing supplies. Rods and reels and tackle for rockfish and, again, perch and every type of fishing in Chesapeake Bay. They are jam-packed full of stuff for the big trophy rockfish season, the spring fishery, the summer fishery as well. They've got the trolling baits, the bucktails, the parachutes, all the major brands. They've got some custom colors, some bucktails, some tandem rigs, some big mojo heads in 20, 24, 28 ounce. Of course, they also have the spring turkey supplies and every major brand of bow, including their newest edition, which is Hoyt. So stop by Chesapeake Outdoors. They're an archery pro shop as well. Like I mentioned, they're on Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road on Kent Island. 410-604-2500. 410-604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors. And one more time, we've got to tell you about our friends at the NPLB and Operation Second Chance having a Wounded Veterans event, a bull roast banquet, Sunday, April 26th at the Timonium Fairgrounds from noon to 6, followed by a live concert at 6:30. That's 2200 York Road in the 4-H Hall. Tickets are $35 for a single, $55 per couple. Kids under 10 are free, a bull roast, a live auction, a cash bar. Mark Hoke is your contact, 301-674-4234, 301-674-4234, or you can also call Susan Peacock, 301-775-7738, 301-775-7738, for the Wounded Veterans NPLB Operation Second Chance Bull Roast coming up Sunday, April 26th. And one more time, Howard E. Grace Decoy Museum is having the annual Decoy Festival and Wildlife Art Festival. That's May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. All kinds of things to do. 100 different artists, carving competitions, silent auctions, an outdoor hunting show. We want you to visit the Decoy Museum at www.decoymuseum.com or give them a call at 410-939-3739. 939-3739 for the annual Decoy Festival, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, May 1, 2, and 3. You'll be glad you did.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. New location, 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Your favorite talk radio station is now on your iPhone. Go to the App Store and download the new WCBM app. Listen to your favorite host or program. Stimulating talk, breaking news, now on your iPhone.
Talk Radio 680, WCBM.
Down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get a bite all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones. You're mighty fine for skipping stones. You feel fresh as a lemonade sitting in the shade.
All right. We're with Harry Hornick, Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service. And, Harry, what is your actual title?
I'm a the striped bass
superstar.
Program. I'm sorry?
Superstar.
No, there's a bunch of them there.
Yeah.
I mean, there'd be a lot. There's a bunch of people that work real hard that, like I said, that, you know, I mentioned them earlier. There's, you know, people in fisheries service,
yep.
people at the striped bass program,
yep.
analysis people, you know, Tom O'Connell, I mean, the leadership there is great.
Tom's a great guy.
Hard.
Yep.
You know, people under, you know, under Tom.
Sure.
And like I said, the guys in the field, both the biologists and the natural resource police officers that are out there, you know, kind of watching over everybody else.
Yep.
Which.
All right. Look, we got to wrap it up. Best place okay. to catch a striped bass, and what do we catch them on?
Well, you know, I heard you mention all those different baits and lures.
Oh, and yeah.
Man. I'm still going for bucktails, white or chartreuse. I think that's old reliable. I'm still a, you know, I like to look at a car tachometer and not digital.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, seriously, I mean, bucktails and light colors, flashy colors, I think, you know, striped bass are definitely, you know, we know they're visual, you know, they eat everything, basically.
Sure.
Joe Evans and I have a kind of a joke. You know, about what they'll eat, and they will eat just about anything that'll fit in their mouth.
Right.
And like I said, I think they definitely prefer eels, but, you know, we can't always use those.
Right.
So, you know, again, I tell people, you know, go, you know, get some good bucktails and then light, you know, white or chartreuse colors.
The top 10 colors, I'm going to name them. You ready?
Okay.
All right, you ready? White. Chartreuse, white, chartreuse, white, chartreuse, white, chartreuse, white, and then finally there's chartreuse.
That would work.
Yep, that's exactly right. So,
you know, and as far as areas, to you know, we've been hearing for years, you know, off of Bloody Point.
Yep.
And then, you know, lower in the bay, south in the bay, you know, the winter gooses and summer gooses. I hope the Salmas guys don't get mad at me because I still think those, you know, because of the topography of the bay, the currents, the,
yep.
you know, There's something going on in those areas, the Chinese muds, you know, that part of the bay. And I think it's a matter of, not that they're hanging out there, but they definitely travel through there.
Sure.
They may be hanging out there, but, you know, again, some of the, you know, the gentlemen that fish out of Solomon's, you know, they've got their favorite fishing grounds in around in those areas. I don't want to say too much more. I'm getting.
I know. I understand.
You know, and then again, off of Bloody Point's a good spot.
Sure.
And again,
okay.
I think it's a matter of. You know, bait may congregate around there for some reason, and the big fish go, you know, go right after them.
I'm going to do a teaser. We will probably have an important announcement, hopefully next week, and we're talking to the director about that, about something coming up for the trophy season here. So, mm-hmm. Inside baseball, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. So, yep. So we'll figure that out. Anyway, thank you, Harry, for being with us today. Been extremely entertaining, enjoyable, and informative. So we want our listeners, that's why they don't call. They're listening. They're trying to absorb as much as they possibly can on that subject, especially striped bass. So, folks, if you missed it, you can hear it on the podcast. We talked about striped bass. So Harry Hornick, Maryland Department of Natural Resources, Fisheries Service, a striped bass guru. Thanks for joining us this morning.
I'd be glad to answer any other questions for you folks. Thanks for having me on.